call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting Board of School Trustees, Monday, February 4th, 6:31 p.m. And need a approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting. Moved by Mrs. Prochnow, seconded by Mr. Schott. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Hearing none, that motion does carry. Roberta, and we're on to approval of minutes of the January 7th, 2019 regular meeting. First, we'll approve the minutes of both, but if I take any comment, organizational meeting and the annual finance meeting, you can address all concerns to Rachel and Tom on the finance meeting if there are any. But need a motion, please. Moved by Dr. Springer, seconded by Mrs. Witt. Any corrections, changes, or discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, the motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of the January 4th, 2019, I don't know if we need to do this, a special meeting of the, I guess we do have to approve the minutes. Special meeting of the Board of School Trustees, need a motion, please. Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion, any changes to that as well? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, the motion does carry. Communication from the audience, I didn't see anybody sign up. Miss Margaret wants to talk. Nope, I didn't think you did. We'll go on to unfinished business, of which I have none, and new business. And we'll start with Dr. Killian and the Academic Achievement Facilities Planning Update.
We have three items to discuss. The first one goes along the lines of what we approved 3 years ago with regards to moving all of our schools, K through 12, Scarlet and Gray, the West Side Way, getting all of us and our schools under one umbrella, so to speak, with the brand West Lafayette. I appreciate Dr. Taggart and Mrs. Delaney being here. They both have helped in this process, and we sent out various survey opinion polls, and it was very close of staff support between West Lafayette Elementary School or keeping Cumberland and West Lafayette Cumberland Elementary School. And after multiple conversations and getting some more input from Dr. Taggart and Mrs. Delaney, we believe it's in our best interest to continue on moving forward the West Lafayette brand in our school, such as we've done with the West Lafayette Intermediate School. Therefore, I'm recommending to you that we rename Cumberland Elementary School to West Lafayette Elementary School effective 2019-2020 school year. And then to help celebrate the Cumberland name, Dr. Taggart and Mrs. Delaney recommended naming the cafeteria the Cumberland Cafe, which I thought was very good. So, and they're both here. If you have any questions or want to get their input, they can give you more information about information that they have received from staff, as they're attuned to hearing what the staff in their regards with regards to this. So,
okay, let's go ahead and take a motion on that, and then we'll just have discussion on this item and then move to item two.
So
moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, questions.
What do we do if we ever open up another elementary school?
Well, it depends on what elementary school configuration you might have. So if you split it and you had like a K through one, that would be a primary, West Lafayette primary, West Lafayette elementary, West Lafayette intermediate. So it just depends on the configuration, but I think that additional split, especially if we get Happy Hollow to a kindergarten, from early childhood kindergarten, maybe first grade center, that would be a primary school.
Okay. I'll ask, Pat, what was the passion level? And I mean, was it a between keeping it the same among teachers and staff? Is that I mean, was it a, did it take some convincing, or from your perspective?
I think that it's a little bit of nostalgia is there because Cumberland has been Cumberland for a while, mm-hmm. but excitement in moving towards being a part of the West Lafayette umbrella and that brand. So yes, there's a little celebration of who Cumberland is, but also the understanding that we're moving forward and excited to be a part of what is to come.
Okay. We have a sense of what the cost of making the name change will be in terms of written materials and printed material, that type of stuff. Is it significant?
This is just a guesstimate on my part because I haven't done any data diving into this, but I think it would be a very low cost, especially with having gone through the same thing with the intermediate school. Probably the biggest thing, and as Melissa had brought to my attention, the issue of helping parent council transition from Cumberland to West Lafayette Elementary School. We've learned a lot with Happy Hollows parent council doing that. So Ross and I are going to do our best to assist the Cumberland parent council to do the same. That probably is a little bit more detail for them because they have to close an account, they have to start a new account under the new name. For us, it's just filing paperwork with the Department of Education and ordering new signage for the school.
Okay. Questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. So,
so gentlemen, order to the signs.
Yeah. We'll sell Rocky's ring.
Yeah. I'll put it on eBay.
Yeah. Junior, senior high school kitchen renovation, and Dr. Killer.
I'm going to ask Jovan and Alex to come up and present to you information. We've been working on this for quite a while, and we took bids. Was it early December?
December 18th.
Yeah. And we thought we'd be bringing this to you in January, but the bids came in higher than we anticipated. So Alex and Jovan and their teams have been working on valued engineering and trying to adjust cost. And I appreciate all the work that everyone's done on this, Ron and his staff and Courtney and Carla and their staff. This is sorely needed in our schools to expand the cafeteria, to create a state-of-the-art facility for the junior, senior high school students with regards to a food court. So I'll let Alex and Jovan give you the update on where we are with this and the anticipated cost, and then I'll make a recommendation.
Okay. Just to give you a review, this is the cafeteria. We sent some renderings through, I don't know, a couple months ago, of what we were up to, and I just refresh your course on what we were doing. You know, we're taking out some ceiling and putting in new seating, new entry to like a food court area, very much like a Purdue as far as food court.
Feel free to pass those around if you want.
Yeah. These are past ones from past jobs, and there's a little booth, little setting area for students to set at bar stools. There's all different heights of tables and chairs that will be brought in. But it does, the main thing is that it revolves around a food court area, and much like Purdue. So just to bring you back up to speed what we were doing back then and what we've done. And so we bid it out December 18th, like Dr. Killian said, bids came in high, so Alex put on his thinking cap and gave us a bunch of ideas. We passed to Ron and the staff and came up with some savings. And I'll let Alex go over some of those savings.
Okay.
And show you some of the things that we changed on those renderings a little bit.
So as Bob said, we bid the project on December 18th, and the bids came in at $3.5 million. At that point, we did the multiple bids from every category. So if we went to the next bidder, we'd add another $750,000 onto the project if we didn't get those low bidders. So when that happened, we came to Javon, we met with Ron and his staff about some value engineering ideas, and we think we can do a couple things different without losing what you're seeing in the pictures. It was very clear we're working with the team members. We didn't want to lose the view, the aesthetics of everything. We wanted something nice. We wanted it to be inviting for the students to be there. And we've identified several items which get us to about $220,000 of a deduct if we take those items. As I understand public bid law, you'd have to award the contract based on the base bid to the $3.5 million number. And then a change order would be issued to deduct it to take those into account, a $220,000 deduct, the credit. I can answer any questions you have. I know you've got some information in your board packet if you want to get to the details, but that's just kind of the big overview picture. And then we would still start on the project the first week of spring break, basically, that the students go on. We would go in there and start the demolition at that point.
And that goes through the second week of October, thereabouts?
Correct, yeah.
So Alex, on that change order, so we take the bid based on what it was,
mm-hmm.
and then like doing the change order is not going to be an issue with the contract. I mean, that's something that's
yes, but we work with all the contractors, yeah. And they were expecting it. So,
so that same deduct would be across the. I mean, it wouldn't be contractor specific.
No, it'd just be Kettle Hut. Okay. So we, you'd issue the single contract to Kettle Hut. And then immediate change order one for the deduct amount. So our contract value would just go that way. And then we would pass those contracts on to the different subcontractors and suppliers. So we have to get those contracts under amount.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'm recommending that the board approve the bid specifications as presented by Kettle Hut, Alex, and the plans as presented by Jovan.
Need a motion, please, and then we'll come back. Move it. Moved by Mr. Bittner.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Okay, any additional questions for or discussion in between?
Looks like a big portion's a porch and a new ramp. Where
on the, it's on the outside. Originally, there's a back door out of the cafeteria, and we were going to redo that whole concrete steps and everything and so we could get a ramp up to it, but we've already got a ramp to the next set of doors down. That's where all the special needs students will be, so we're good with them. And it was more of just trying to get a ramp to that set of doors.
Is that the loading dock area?
No, no, this is way on the
other
side.
Oh,
okay,
on the other side.
Far west side.
Okay.
Yeah, far west side of the building.
But with the Aquatic Center project and the redoing, we're redoing all that and adding ADA access at that point.
Right.
This summer as part of that project.
And so do we just forego that whole remodel, re-tearing out all those concrete steps and supporting the structure and re-concreting a new ramp and all that, and we just said it would work just fine the way it is. And that was the biggest challenge.
Okay.
It's also one of those things, if you ever want to come back and do it 5 years from now, it can easily be done.
Okay.
Rocky, this is not related to the bid process, but in looking at the pictures for the first time tonight, I realized that it's, are we anticipating more work for custodial staff to keep that clean?
Well, hopefully it's less work because it's newer items, and Larry's been working on some things that we're finding out with regards to wax versus non-wax products. And so I think, at least if Larry were here, I think he would say with the people that we have and with some of the changes and procedures, we should be able to continue doing what we are doing with the same amount of people.
I can give one example there, like the flooring in the whole cafeteria area is not, you do not strip and wax it every year like you do normal VCT. You just light mop it and you seal it every 5 years. So there's a lot of maintenance right there that's alleviated.
I looked at it, that's the first time I've seen it, noticed
yeah.
it on the drawing with all the chairs. And
oh,
to move and rearrange chairs and tape
yeah.
it, I mean, that's just more
right.
work. So you got to make it up somewhere else.
Yeah.
Alex, those bids, I'm trying, they were good for 30 or 60 days.
60 days.
60.
Yep.
So we're within that time window.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions, please? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Just some information, Dr. Killian, on the James R. Guy Education Wing and the Performing Center, Robert Kelly Performing Center.
We're 1 week away from our 30-day timeline, so February 11th, we'll know for sure from the county auditor whether or not we can move forward with, or the county clerk, with regards to the bonding process. And then once that happens, then Jovan, Alex, and Ron and their team will develop the timelines for the bidding process, for breaking ground, and the amount of time for construction. Well, Alex had done some figuring with regards to current projects being bid within the area over the next few months, and we are intentionally delaying our bidding until those bids are done, because we'll be maybe more of a focus rather than competing with, what is it, 19 projects, Alex?
Yeah.
Over the next 2 months that are being bid out. So we're looking at possibly an April bid, I believe, correct? I think it's an April bid for the James R. Guy Education Wing. And then we're looking at midsummer for the Robert Kelly Performing Arts Center. Did I get that right? Or is it May?
Midsummer for the bidding on the Robert Kelly Performing Arts Center. Right now we're targeting the end of May for the James R. Guy Wing.
End of May. So we think in that timing that could help us financially. And we'll know more. Plus, we're working hard on the fundraising side. Next week, I'll be meeting with Tom Kelly at his place to have further discussions with his family about all of this. And I think Lindsay will be having some good conversations moving forward with some news that's been breaking. So, so that's an update, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Gabe? Okay. We'll move on. Thank you, guys. GLCA cooperative agreement. And Dr. Kelly.
We have to take our agreement to the State Board of Education for approval. So Miranda Hutchinson put together an update to that agreement that doesn't change anything with regards to our commitments. It's just basically more explanation about the cooperative between the three schools. And I need the board's approval so that our three respective school districts can submit that to the Board of Education for final approval.
And the GLCA is the Greater Lafayette Career Academy.
Right.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion.
Just have a question about who is on the board. All I can gather from this was that it was one person appointed from each district.
Correct. And right now, the conversation is the three superintendents.
Okay.
And there might be an expansion of that that's still being worked out.
Okay, so right now the board will consist of you three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
That can be a dangerous
question.
Maybe we ought to reconsider.
All right with me. I'd like to have one less meeting. I'm in.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Transportation software, and Doug, floor is yours.
Before he starts, I'd make a couple of comments.
Oh, yeah, please.
With our transportation, you know, we were with City Bus, and they, all our elementary routes, Ronnie mainly for years, had done the routing and did it pretty much by hand. I mean, they had done it for years, so being small like we are, they continued. So as a transition, Doug and I have been talking about ways to hopefully, you know, get more efficient if we need to be. I know with him really being involved, he's seen things that we could probably do better if we had a transportation routing software, especially as we look at the future, you know, if we do something different at the high school or do some different routing, plus I think he probably mentioned about the athletic trips. So I think it's something we want to take a look at. I know we, you know, always look at the cost, but I'll let Doug kind of explain the benefits of the program.
Yep. Basically, we do everything by hand right now, including time and attendance and payroll, everything by hand. As we move to the future, I mean, we need a solid platform to build off of, and routing software is kind of at the center of all that. We currently, and the ladies can attest, every student in the corporation is assigned a bus. Well, we have 7 buses, 3 spares. We can't get all of our students on a bus. We don't know who's riding, if they're riding AM, PM, where they're riding from, other than unless they come to a stop. What the routing software does allows us, upon registration, to parent, I'm a car rider, I'm a walker, I'm a bus rider. And then we can use that information to efficiently run our routes and everything. One of the things I struggle with now is ridership. Who's on the bus at any given time? What the routing software can do is when those children are assigned to a bus, the driver actually has a route sheet, not only the turn by turn, but At this stop, Jimmy, Jeff, and John are getting on. At this stop, the other students are getting on, even on departure. Big international community, you know, our students there, some of them are not English speaking. So at the beginning of the year, it's kind of rough sometimes, and then second semester starting, we have new students leaving, and some of them don't even speak English. And those drivers, we might not know what that child's name on if he's left on the bus. And unfortunately, we deal with that a lot. I know a situation we had first semester, Margaret did a great job on. Parents swore the kid got on the bus. Driver says, I'm not sure, kid's not in school. So then it kind of sent the whole Happy Hollow community into a panic at that point. We were able to locate the kid, he was hiding under the bed at home. He never did get on the bus. But the problem we run into there is who's on and who's off, who's not on at certain times. The software interfaces with Skyward, the student's picture. So not only the name, the picture of the student comes out on the route sheet that each driver had. Unfortunately, you have absences, sick time, bereavement, whatever. So then you have a sub-driver. What I hand the sub-driver now is a handwritten list or typed out. It says turn left here and stop at this location. Proceed on this street, stop at this location. Doesn't list who's getting on, who's getting off. So ridership is a big thing. We really don't. The drivers know who's on the bus, but a firm number is very hard to predict, you know, without any software. At least then, if something, God forbid, was happen, click of a button, here's the route, these are all the students should be on the bus. So, and as we move to the future, the software program does a lot of stuff. As I said, time and attendance, keeping payroll, it can do that. It'll differentiate between a route, a trip, where that driver's going. The trips right now goes from usually a staff member, someone in the office, administrator signs off, goes back to somebody else, it's shipped to me. I get it, I assign the driver, get it filled out, ship it back to the school. So with the software and the trip management system, it'd simply be, here's your request, I assign it, goes on the calendar, she can look at the calendar, there's my driver for this trip. Cuts down a lot of paperwork, a lot of time also on that too. As we move forward, if you're looking at your own fleet maintenance right now, Tippecanoe School Corporation does all of our maintenance, has ability to do that. Scheduling your maintenance, everything, keep track of that, all in the same program. And I think I listed in there, from a human resources standpoint, right now, I have to come down here, pull the file, this driver's due for a physical, this driver's license is due to renew, everything's in the program right there. Once it's in there, you get the notification a month early. Hey, so-and-so needs to go do a physical or something like that. So I think as we go forward, a good platform, good software program to build the transportation vision is kind of needed in this situation.
Okay. And administration's recommending approval to move forward with it.
Okay, I need a motion first and discussion.
I'll move.
Moved by Mr. Second. Marley, second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, questions?
How many drivers do you have? I'm just curious.
Seven. But we have subs, and depending on the time of day is when those subs are available. All but one of them have work outside of the corporation.
Other school corporations using Traversa? Do you know of other
yes.
school corporations that are using
I'm actually semi-familiar with it. The big brother to that is VersaTrans, which they have a Tippecanoe School Corporation. But they ran 400 plus routes. We run 28 right now, but you can expand upon that.
So does the software, you said it will link to Skyward to allow for pictures and things to
yes, so upon registration, every night you get a data dump so you know if you have new students. Right now I get a call from somebody in the office, hey, we have a new student, they live here, what bus are they going to ride? Well, you assign them this is this route, but is that bus overcrowded? If that bus becomes overcrowded, then I have to rework by hand different routes to get another bus in that area to pick up kids. Where this one is simply pull up the map, where's your students located? I can move these three to this stop, reroute it here, what's the most efficient route there? Even road construction. You know, if you can shut down a road, it'll efficiently reroute you around that road.
But the intention, general intention is to keep a route the same, build at the beginning of the year and keep it the same unless something really dramatic changes.
Well, Friday we have a student moving in on Northwestern Avenue, actually northwest of the roundabout. So that bus is going to have to go over 52 to pick up the kid and come back around.
Okay.
So not only does that add a stop, that changes the time for all 15 stops ahead of that one, and then beyond that, because we have to come back around, get back on the edge to pick up on Anthony.
Okay. I didn't ask my question clearly, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I completely believe that you're getting kids to and from school safely. That's not my question. Mm-hmm. My question is, it can be really confusing getting on a bus, particularly for kids from coming from Cumberland.
Sure.
What my question is Bobby comes out of the building, he's always going to get on the red bus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anticipate needing to move Bobby to the blue bus and then the purple bus? Is that part of the plan? Does that happen?
It has happened at Cumberland, actually, because we had the orange route was overcrowded.
Okay.
So I had to reroute purple to pick up several kids off of Sycamore there.
Okay.
Because orange didn't have any more room. So their bus changed from orange to purple.
But I guess what I'm asking is, this will give you more flexibility. This would let you look at it and go, oh, this could be better if I moved it here.
Oh, yes.
But the general premise is you're going to try and keep it as stable as you can for the kids.
Yes. Delivering
them well and
yes.
being efficient.
But there's something, the Northwestern Avenue is beyond my control.
Right.
Nothing any
right.
close. And for each year, it could change. If someone moves or I only have one student there instead of five, I might be able to route orange back there.
Okay.
And that leads to my other question.
Sure.
So since this interfaces with Skyward,
mm-hmm.
are you going to be able to have bus routes available to students before they start school? Because currently we don't really have that. You kind of have to know your bus route and then you look up.
Sure.
Where
so what the program does is advance your students. So you have a pretty good idea, you know, that third grader is going to be a fourth grader.
Right.
Or whatever. So you can start working. I came in late
right.
July.
Yes.
So basically second week when school's out.
Right.
You start advancing your students, start working on your routes for next year.
Right.
To stay ahead of the
But what I'm saying is when they register, I mean, registration takes place the first week of August, right? So when they register, are they going to know on the first day of school which route they're supposed to be on, or are they going to have to look up the closest stop in the, you know, typically, right now, they
sure.
email out the stops,
if
and you have to look up your closest one.
It depends. If they switch schools, went from Cumberland
right.
to Wills, that stop could change.
Okay.
Or closer to the high school. Very hard to, what we try to do is have everything. Here we register almost right up to the start date,
mm-hmm.
Whereas online registration would open up earlier at TSE, so we'd have a pretty good idea of what it
right.
was and just near the
right.
end have to add the students who were later registered.
Right.
But we should be able to have that well in advance, just by advancing the students, knowing what grade and where that stop would be.
Okay. Well, I know that was the
yeah.
problem at the beginning of the year. You know,
oh,
a lot of international
oh, yeah.
people, and they don't know the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at
mm-hmm.
Cumberland with you.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of them didn't know where they lived. They didn't
mm-hmm.
know what the closest stop was to where they lived. I mean, so
right.
I see that as a really big
mm-hmm.
pitfall for them. Still having a lot of problems
yeah.
if we could get that to where it tells them where their stop is.
Well, ideally, once they register online,
right.
or once they register, I'll get that. The next
okay.
day when it comes in, so I should be able to route a student instead of having to, well, I don't know if I already think I've got 70 kids on this bus, I can
right.
put another one on that bus, so ideally I'd have that information a lot quicker to be able
okay.
to get that back out. But we should be able to put something out beforehand.
Okay, because Skyward right now, I think it's probably the second week of school before it actually shows up your bus color in your registration.
Yeah,
and we register kids, I'm sorry to butt in.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
We do register kids until late August and then throughout the year, of course, but our fall registration kind of lingers into early September, sometimes end of August.
But
so
even at the school, when the student registers, they would be able to look, oh, he would be on this bus.
Okay.
But
so the bus
I would be
up.
Assigning
okay.
them the bus instead of her assigning them the bus.
Okay.
So she says, oh, that's the blue route. Well, if I know I can't put any more kids on the blue route,
right.
then I have to do some rerouting
okay.
to reassign that child. I've had to do that a few times at Cumberland. And I hope things are getting better.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you had to do all the bus listings
yes.
for the past few years, so, yeah.
So one of the other questions that I've heard crop up periodically is, are we gonna have the tracking ability to know
so
the
So the program with this is called Ride 360. So you as a parent, you have a secure password to go on where you can track that bus. You could look at the bus and say, oh, it'll even give you the ETA of when that bus should get to your stop.
Okay.
So that's something, again, that's a program we can build off the base.
If we later on down the road, this will support that.
Yes.
If we went
yeah.
there eventually.
And I didn't have the capability of it. So if the green bus is late, every student gets that information, and every parent that goes to the intermediate school. I can narrow that down by blue bus, your bus is running 10 minutes late, and send out that notification. So the rest of you aren't getting notifications on. So yeah, you can build off the, I think.
Is it app driven to be able to do that? Or?
Yep, it's web-based. Okay. So one of the things I run into now is not only out there, I have to come here, if I'm looking at files, we're getting with Connie or one of the gals on payroll, I have to go to TSC for all of our maintenance, scheduling and everything. So I'm, what's good is web-based for me. If I'm there, I don't have to run back to the office to make a change, tell her that student's gonna be on this route, we've got a change this way. So.
Have you considered what the hour savings would be on a weekly basis to you and your staff?
For me?
Yeah.
It's tough to predict right now.
We get a lot of manual stuff. It seems like you're doing a heck of a lot of manual, a lot of running around. That this would streamline it.
I go about 11 hours a day on a regular Monday through Friday. But three of that is driving our mechanic dental kids. If I don't have a driver available, I have to go. They've got a group list by Woodland School off 450 South. And I go get the high school kid and the couple of kids and then take them home. But yeah, I'll be honest with you, it saved me some time and a lot of manual data entry and stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Any other questions?
This is unrelated, but whoever was driving the boys basically back from Northwestern and the girls from Frankfurt, great job. Those were some.
I'll pass that along. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I don't often get too, that. So. Normally it's the complaints I get on the drive. I'll pass that on.
Some unexpected conditions.
Yeah. So I have one more question, Doug. If you're driving a bus and a problem comes up in transportation,
I have a radio. Okay. Well, that's. I not only take out my own trash, I sweep my own floor, but I'm a one-man show at this point. So I have a radio, and I have an agreement with the folks at TSC. If something major was to go on and I couldn't get there right away, they'll respond for me, vice versa.
Okay.
I know their director's going to Iowa Thursday, Friday. Now, he has the old Doug over there, but he's in, like me over here, still relatively new. So if something's to go on, it's kind of like a mutual aid thing. He would help. But I do a lot of radio back and forth when I'm driving, just with the other drivers and situations.
We're glad Doug is here.
Yes.
Definitely.
I mean, can you imagine
we'll get there.
Doing a transportation without a supervisor? That's what we did about half a year last year. We did not have a supervisor, and all the building principals, assistant principals, deans, central office, everybody was trying to be involved. So we appreciate Doug and his commitment to our transportation.
Doug, you might tell them more about your trip you're driving every day, where you're taking these kids.
Where I take
McKinney kids.
Oh, yeah. McKinney Bento kids?
Do you have to do it every day, or are you the only way to drive?
Yeah. About 95% of the time, unless I have someone available.
Okay.
I leave the little ones are on the bus for over an hour, but there's just no way to get around that. You have a kindergartner and first grader, and I have a junior high student. They live almost where Woodland Elementary is, on 450 South. So I leave here at 7, get those folks, get that young man to the high school, and then we go to Cumberland and wait till dismissal at 8:25, I think she comes out. And then in the afternoon, pick the young ones up, 3:15, drive over, wait for city bus to leave, pick up the junior high, and drive them back.
So. And this is a requirement of the state?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
McKinney Bento.
Do we use the short bus for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just check. Yep. You can't use the 15 passenger van. That's not a requirement.
Right.
We were thinking about getting him an RV.
An RV?
Yeah, Ross didn't want to spend the money. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great kids. I don't know if they're in school. But
sounds like you spent a lot of time sitting in parking lots with them.
Little ones. We know our states and some math and everything else. I usually get a sticker every day from them because I'm a good driver.
There you go. Okay, we have a motion on the table. Any other questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. And thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Appreciate nice work.
We'll get it ordered. We'll see you over at the high school.
We're going to intermediate schools, special education curriculum. Dr. Killian.
Well, Mrs. Johnson has been working with our special ed teachers at the West Lafayette Intermediate School and our administration. We have desperately needed a special ed curriculum revision there, and through their work, Mrs. Johnson's recommending approval of the Reading, Horizon, and Ascend math curriculum and I would make that recommendation as well so that we could start that implementation. And Margaret may have some additional info if you need.
Okay, let's get a motion first and then we'll go from there.
Move approval.
By Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion or questions?
Well, and this is maybe for Margaret. Will this, will they be able to use this program with the dyslexia guidelines? Is that gonna be, or no?
I do think, do you know that? I think it is, right? Yes.
Okay.
It's on the list of.
Of list of approvals
for that. And the nice thing also is that K to six, they have that program as well. So our students will be able to progress through there. One of the questions that came up from some staff members, they wanted to know, you know, why can't we just pull something, for instance, that Cumberland is using? And if they're using it in the general population, and then you have a younger sibling that has the same material as a fifth grader, it doesn't feel right for that fifth grader to have the same book as their younger sibling. So this gives special ed their own curriculum that is much more fitting for them, and they can progress at the rate that they need to get through and make progress on their reading goals. So it is needed, and as we have more and more students that come in with lower levels, we want to make sure that we're still providing something good for them.
Okay.
I'd like seeing if it's available to them over the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, they can have access to it. is it based, does it allow each child to progress independently? Is it competency-based advancement?
It is, and the materials, I think, are teacher-friendly and enjoyable for the kids, which I think matters also.
Yeah.
So it really seemed like the best fit possible. They did look at lots of options before trying to make a decision, and one of the things that made it all really clear for them is they had one of our teachers, Barbie, had a grant and was able to use it for a year and really fell in love with the program and found a lot of benefit in using it.
Awesome. Okay. Any other questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, Roberta, that motion does carry. Overnight field trip, and thank you, Margaret, that's you also. Overnight field trip, the HOSA State Leadership Conference. I think it's the only thing we have on there for April 16th to the 18th. I need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Proctor. All in favor of the well, discussion. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Personnel report and Dr. Killian.
Recommend your approval of everything listed in the personnel report.
Okay. Your motion, please.
So moved
by Mr. Marley, second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable, Mr. Slope.
Yeah, we have a total of $4,310,774.27. It includes two payrolls, the R claims, WEBEC claims, and the construction projects on one employee reimbursement. It does look a little different. If you remember, we went to the education fund and operations fund, but you see though up the heading, there was like five general fund. We'll have to move those. There's been a lot of account changes to get here in the first of the year. Those will hit. Those are paid, but we need to move those into the education fund. So, I mean, you're approving the amounts, but they will be moved down into the education fund. We had some accounts that didn't show up right in the conversion. Basically, you've seen then the operations fund now, we instead of CPF, we paid like Henry out for cyber insurance and Hanover $40,000 for our property insurance. And Neola, that $10,000 payment, that's for the board to move in from the board policies to convert to administrative guidelines. And I think, Rock, you're probably going to be working on that this summer or late spring.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Sometime.
And then the Wanger new chairs, that was 80 new chairs, student chairs for the high school. JK Communication, $7,000. It was handheld radios for Cumberland. And then Kettle Hut, we had that Cumberland water break over there, what, a couple weeks ago, was it?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
The water line. So that was like $7,000 for that repair. So I recommend the approval of the claims.
Super approval. Okay. Any motions, please?
So moved.
Second. Dr. Springer, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion.
I want to see the snow thrower they bought for $12. I need to get one of those. I know they're that cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just a repair. That was just a repair.
Yeah. They're all available for.
He was a miniature.
Any other questions?
Mrs. Delaney, how was your in-service?
Which one?
Reading adoption.
It was fantastic.
Was it?
We have three really excellent contenders that we're looking at, just waiting on their samples in. So.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, we will pay our bills. Information to the board, I have nothing additional. Board of Superintendent reports. We'll start with Mr. Morrowey.
Nothing to report.
Tom?
Foundation met the 10th. Too much fundraising continues. Lindsay probably to second this, but Sue Lasser seems to do a great job. Keep track of all their finances. I'm no checkbook expert, but her reports are very detailed. She's a real asset to that organization. I do have some openings, so I'll let Sue or Lindsay know if you know of anyone that might be interested in serving on that. Did I miss, were you there? Did I miss anything?
I was there. It seems like so long ago.
Or meeting again.
Yeah, no, we are. I don't think we missed anything. What, April 6th is West Side Story?
Yes.
April
6th
is West Side Story. That's the only thing. And we have a new website, so go to.
But that wasn't at the meeting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go to Facebook.
Go to Facebook.
Okay. Okay. Melissa, have you read anything?
No, I haven't had anything. Board teacher discussion, your FEL update, I'm sure.
Okay. Brian, anything from you?
I attended Third House. Two Saturdays now, and the two House bills that Cindy pop up regarding education, House Bill 1641, Charter School Matters, Charter Schools Matter, authored by Representative Benning, and basically it, what he's trying to get accomplished is that any public school that passes a referendum, a portion of that referendum tax would go to charter schools. So,
really?
Yes. So 1641.
Yes, really.
Opposed. 1641 yeah, really. Opposed.
Are they going to help walk and get those passed?
Right.
Well, is it well, fact, charter schools in your district?
It has to be in your district.
Schools? Charter okay. schools.
In your
okay.
district.
In your district.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So it really, I don't know if it affects us too much, but well, at the same time,
not yet.
Statewide,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
statewide.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We're doing all the work to you know promote and get the referendum passed, and then we have to hand over a certain portion of that money to
I'm
the charter
give them
school.
A penny.
So, and it was interesting to see some of the charter school numbers and compares graduation rates in comparison to statewide graduation rates. Where am I here? Graduation virtual school statewide. Their graduation rate charter schools 40% graduation rate. In the state of Indiana, well, public schools at 88%. So it tells you, some issues there. I believe when I sit at these meetings, you listen to your representatives, they're on their other side of the coin. They always talk about how well public schools or charter schools are doing. Well, this is state numbers. It's just incredible. The stories that are told. But yeah, second House bill is 1166. It has to do with our local RDC. We have people appointed, individuals from school boards appointed to the RDC. They had no vote or no voice to vote. And this House bill is on the table to allow a voting member on the RDC board, that is a school member on the RDC board. There's a lot of moving pieces and parts to it, a lot of confusion at the last meeting. Who would be on that board if you're in a community and then you have three school systems like we do, who is going to be on the RDC board for West Lafayette, and compared to Lafayette, it's supposed to be the largest school system, is supposed to have the representation on those RDCs. So talking to one of our representatives sat at my table, the third house passed it, 22 for it and 11 opposed to it, but the representative sat at my table and said it will never make it through. So that's my report.
While you're there on the political side, I have asked Bob to engage Senator Alting and have some conversations about concerns that we have for some of these bills.
From the Park Board, there's a new assistant superintendent, and his name is Greg Mitchell. When he joins us, he comes from Park County, where he served as the director of parks. Former Morton programs are now housed at Happy Hollow Elementary School, with the exception of a few yoga classes out at the Lilly Nature Center. So quite an extensive process to get Parks and Rec moved into Happy Hollow, as well as the city, and programs are up and running. Glass meeting last week was canceled, and Rocky will report on teacher discussion.
Teacher discussion met January 17th, brought the team up to date on construction projects and renaming Cumberland. We revisited special education issues that they had brought up and liked many of Shelby's recommendations that we're working on and towards. We're working on course transportation schedules and trying to figure out a better way to do transportation. Seem like we've had an improvement in substitute teacher representation, if you will, and people showing up, and I think the extra pay that we're providing our substitute teachers has helped. I reminded the teacher discussion team that we're required by July 1 to have a reading specialist, dyslexia screening person trained, and then also we have to start suicide prevention training for all of our staff.
All right, I'm trying to think what else I have from that standpoint. With respect to the fundraising committee, I've been working with Lindsay and my role with the foundation on that, and it's going well, and there'll be more, as you mentioned, alluded to some more news to come there. And also with the Wall of Pride committee, we're beginning that process, well into that process for the next class. Communication from the audience, anything?
Same. They're all happy out
there. Anybody else want to say something?
Margaret does.
Okay. Future meetings, we do have the hardest news today is of our snow makeup days, which was February 18th, now in April. We're full up, as they say.
Well, we have two left in our calendar. So
we still have two dates still that are still some flexibility.
We used to have some flexibility.
Okay.
I was trying to give us more flexibility.
But yeah.
But one of those is Friday, right?
Yes, one's on graduation day, which our high school folks don't really like, but
yeah,
there's nothing you can do about it.
But you've already penciled in, we will have school.
April 8th. April 8th, April 22nd is our other two dates.
When are those being announced?
I got the
immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to get them out.
Okay. Next regular board meeting will be Monday, March the 4th at 6:30 p.m.
Yep.
And need a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Mrs. Clarkenow. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I will not carry. I'll be at that much.
All right, here's what we're going to do.